Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
We have been ministering on the healing techniques of Jesus, and we've looked at 19 cases of healing under the ministry of Jesus. We looked at the nobleman's son, Peter's mother-in-law. Thank God there's hope for mother-in-laws. The multitude, the healing of the multitude, the healing of the leper, the paralytic, the lame man of Bethesda, the man with the withered hand, the woman with a spirit of infirmity, the centurion's servant, the madman of Gadara. Sounds like some church folks I've had to pastor over the years. The woman with the issue of blood, the raising of Jairus' daughter, the two blind men, the healing of the Canaanite woman's daughter, the blind man of Bethesda, the blind man at Jerusalem, and blind Bartimaeus, the demoniac's son, the possessed blind mute. And tonight, we're going to look at the man with dropsy, the man that was healed of dropsy. Let's go over here to Luke chapter 14 in verse 1. It says, "Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent." Now, the fact that Jesus asked them that question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" tells us that he already knew they were having a problem with him. He already knew they had a problem with him healing on the Sabbath. And notice it said in verse 1 that they watched him closely. So here, this ruler of the Pharisees invites Jesus to his house, and yet it's not a very friendly atmosphere. He's invited over, and all they're doing is watching him and looking for something by which they can accuse him. They're just looking to find fault with him. Go back here to verse 1. It says, they watched him closely. They watched him closely. Because this isn't a very nice atmosphere to be in. Have you ever been in an atmosphere where you just knew you weren't liked? You know, you're the one at the party that nobody really cares for you there. It's in atmospheres like that that it's easy to get an attitude and just shut down yourself and begin to return the same kind of attitude that's being given to you. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus, even in an atmosphere like that, is seeking whom he may heal, whom he may deliver, who he may help. He's looking for somebody to bless, even in an atmosphere like that. And you and I are to walk in his footsteps. And so we have to stir up this love of God, this compassion of God that's on the inside of us, and not allow ourselves to be overcome by evil so that we become like the evil that's coming towards us. We're to overcome evil with good, with the goodness of God, with the love of God. And Romans 5:5 tells us the love of God's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if you're born again, Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are full. You've had the love of God poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So why don't you just say it? I say, I'm full of the love of God. Yeah, so that means we're not going to be overcome by hatred and bitterness and jealousy and envy and all the ugliness that people can walk in when they're walking in the flesh. We're going to walk in the love of God no matter what. We're going to look to change the situation. We're not going to conform to this world. We're not going to conform to the atmosphere around us. We're not going to conform to Miss Attitude or Mr. Attitude. We're not going to conform to them. We're going to continuously be transformed by the life of God that's on the inside of us. What does it mean to be transformed? That means to be turned inside out. We're just going to turn loose what's on the inside of us, regardless of what's going on around us, on the outside of us. We're going to turn loose that love of God. And that's how we're going to really be able to see the power and life of God flow through our lives just like it did with Jesus. The big secret to Jesus' success was his love for people. Big secret to his success was his love and compassion for others. Remember in our series on the compassion of the Lord, compassion is at the very root of our redemption. We would never have been redeemed. There would be no redemption. There'd be no salvation if it was not for the compassion of God. So it's by compassion that salvation works. It's by compassion that divine healing works. Faith works by love. So if we're going to walk in healing for ourselves and bring healing to others, we've got to become skillful and even master this love walk. And we can do it. We got all the love we need. I said we got all the love we need. We're not searching for love in all the wrong places. We're not trying to find love. We're not desperate for love. We've got it. We've got the love. We've got the love of God in our hearts. We've just got to turn it loose. We've just got to be transfigured. We've just got to be turned inside out. Cause what's on the inside of us to flow out of us and touch others. Can you say amen? Amen. And just like Jesus was being watched closely, you and I are being watched closely by unbelievers, by the world, even by Christians that don't believe to the degree that you believe. You know, there's folks that believe in Jesus, that he died for their sins, but they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe, in the power of God today. They don't believe in divine healing. And so folks like that will watch you closely when they find out that you're one of those. And James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." We shall receive a stricter judgment. That's not only a stricter judgment with God, that is a stricter judgment with other people. People are going to judge you more severely than they would somebody that does not claim to believe the way you and I believe. And you know, that's a good thing. They're expecting more from you and I. They're expecting a higher standard from us. So let's not be shy. Let's not hold it back and try to conform to them and make everybody feel comfortable around us. Let's just go ahead and lift up that higher standard. Because that's what they're expecting from you. And don't let anybody fool you. They are watching you closer than you think. They're watching you closer than you think. You know, I know somebody that he was with his friends. And his friends, you know, they don't know the Lord. And, you know, they were saying, "Hey, have a beer." And they knew where he was at. And they're trying to get him, "Come on, you know, have a beer, you know, do this, do that." And they're trying to encourage him, you know, at their little party to do what they're doing and stuff. And no, I just have a soda, water, whatever. Next thing you know, after they're acting like there's nothing wrong with it to him, they turn around after a little bit and said, "You know, Charlie over here, you know, he claims to be a Christian, and he was drinking beer with us when he came and visited. And they started bad-mouthing Charlie the Christian. And meanwhile, they're acting like to this guy, to this Christian here, that there was nothing wrong with it. But as soon as he held up his standard, then they began, yeah, well, you're not like this. He's a hypocrite. Well, that's exactly what they would have called him if he had given in to, but they weren't acting like they would have. They acted like there's no problem. What's wrong with it? So don't let folks fool you. You're being watched. And hold up the standard. You are a living epistle. A living epistle. An epistle, a letter, needs to be read. If you're a living epistle, don't be afraid of people reading your life. Let them read your life. Be an example. Be a light to this world. We don't hide the light under a bushel, do we? We put that light on a lampstand. Let your light shine. You know, it's interesting. We're doing some construction work here, and the gentleman that was doing the HVAC, he ran into a snag and was having a tough time with something. And anyway, I came walking by him, and he said, man, he said, this thing, I was expecting this to go a whole lot easier. He said, you know, I mean, being here, I would expect a little bit more help from the Lord. Now, he probably doesn't even really know the Lord. But here in God's house, he's expecting something different. He's expecting a little bit more of the Lord's help in God's house. Isn't that interesting? So, you wouldn't think people are thinking like that, but people are thinking like that. And then notice, coming back here again to verse 14. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread. Notice that. He went to eat with one of the rulers of the Pharisees. When I read that, I thought about Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 in verse 1. Why don't we just go there together? Proverbs 23, verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler. Well, this is exactly what Jesus is doing, isn't it? So here, Proverbs got something to say about it. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. In other words, if you like to eat it, if you like to munja, or manja. Put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Deceptive food. Now, of course, we know Jesus is sitting with these people, and they're not being honest. They're not really showing him hospitality. They got ulterior motives, don't they? They're looking to find fault in him. But I want you to notice also here in Proverbs where it says, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. You know, in the world today, there are a lot of deceptive foods. What's a deceptive food? It's something that looks perhaps nutritious and good, but it's deceptive. It's not good for you at all. And it will affect your health in a negative way. And here we are, we're talking about divine healing. And what you eat is important when we're talking about living in divine health, walking healthy in life. He says, consider carefully what is before you. In other words, consider carefully the food that you eat. This is the Bible. This is God. This is God talking to us. He's saying, you gotta know what you're eating. Don't just sit down at the table with a big appetite and say, man, that looks good. And just eat it all up. And not even consider really what you're eating. It tastes good. Okay, maybe we should go a little bit further than that and know a little bit more about it other than it smells good, looks good, and tastes good. Maybe we need to examine a little bit more what we are putting in our mouth. Because the rulers of this world, which are demons, according to the scriptures, the rulers of this world are deceptive. And they are ever trying to inspire men to create things that are not good for people. Because the devil's in the making people sick business. He's the opposite of Jesus, who's in the healing business. Right? So we got to watch what we eat. If it was true back here in the days when the Bible was written, man, it is even more true today. You got to read your labels. Just because it tastes like and looks like maple syrup doesn't mean a maple tree had anything to do with it. I'm totally serious. There's stuff out there, it's just imitation. Artificial. It's not real. It's deceptive. So it's not going to have the same effect on your body. The primary reason we eat is for strength, is to be nourished. Now, God was so kind and great in that he made the thing that we do a lot, eat, he made it pleasurable. He made it enjoyable. He made everything taste good. And he inspires people to be able to take the things that he's created and do wonderful things with it. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad that he didn't just give us, you know, some kind of bland thing and says, that's it, eat it every day. That's what we need. It's just what we do to stay strong. No, he made it enjoyable. But we got to watch about just getting focused on the joys of eating. Just get focused in on the taste of the thing and how the thing looks and not really know what we're eating. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff that is not fit for human consumption. And people are just eating it up. And it's messing them up. It's messing them up physically. It's messing up their bodies. And so we have to watch ourselves. We have a responsibility to know what we're eating. That's what the Bible's telling us. He says, consider carefully. Consider carefully. You know, and since I've gotten saved and things, it's amazing how the Lord has opened my eyes to things. You know, he'll just open your eyes as you walk with him. He'll open your eyes to all kinds of things in the world that aren't right, that you thought was normal and right. And you begin to say, well, that's not right. This isn't good. I don't want any part of that anymore. Well, he's done that also when it comes to eating. Now, I am not what you would call a health nut. I'm not somebody that is just really worried about what I'm not worried about anything. Tell you the truth about it. But God just opens your eyes to stuff and he causes you to see, hey, you know what? That's not good for me. If it's not good for me, I don't like it. You can't flavor it enough for me. If I know it's bad for me, I don't like it. Because my spirit is turned off to it. It's turned off to it. So I can't enjoy it with my heart. Can't put my heart into that thing. Let's go to Psalm 103. This is a huge part of walking healthy. There's a lot of folks that they receive supernatural healing from the Lord. And then they just turn right around and they put a bunch of junk in their bodies. And they just continuously have a lifestyle of undermining their health. And so in a lot of cases, they end up right back where they were. And you know, the Lord's so good, he'll heal you again. I mean, healing belongs to us. We can rise up and receive it. But man, why keep patching something up? Why keep repairing something? Why not just go ahead and change it out altogether so that we just don't have a problem with it anymore? Right? Just fix the leak. Get a new whatever it is so that you don't have to keep patching the leak. I keep putting silicone around it. And every couple weeks, it starts leaking again. Why don't you just go ahead and throw it out and get a new one? And that's how it is with our lifestyle. There's some things we've got to change and just have some new habits. Just have some new habits. And that would help us a whole lot in a lot of different areas where we keep repeating the same problem. We keep falling prey to the same problems. Sometimes we've got to examine, is it something in my lifestyle that needs to change? Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I like that. With all that's within me. This is not a superficial blessing of the Lord. This is blessing him with all that's within you. You know, that's how we're to live our life. From our hearts. Bless him with all that's within us. Live life from our hearts. Not just live superficially. And so, of course, that comes back to how we eat. We don't want to just think how it tastes, how it smells, how it looks. That's being superficial. We want to go a little deeper than that. Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." These are the benefits of knowing the Lord. Do you know the Lord? You're following the Lord. Is the Lord your Lord? "Then forgiveness is yours. Healing of all disease is yours. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." This is a part of how God renews our strength. We know Isaiah 41, I think it is, says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." So we know waiting on the Lord, getting in his presence, letting the anointing of the Holy Spirit get on you, waiting on him in his word, is going to strengthen you. It's going to bring healing to you. It's going to renew you. But not only that, there's something in the natural the Lord is interested in doing for you. And it's a part of your benefits in Christ. What's that? He wants to lead you in what you put in your mouth. He wants to guide you with what you gobble up. Yes, he does. Don't get too quiet now on me. This is a sensitive issue for a lot of people, because there are people, and I'm not saying anybody here is to this degree, but there are people whose God is their belly. That's what the Bible says. And we know that food, from the very beginning, has been connected to sin in many people's lives. Adam and Eve. They ate something, didn't they? They weren't supposed to eat. They sinned against the Lord over food. Jacob and Esau. It was over food. The first temptation that Satan, the first recorded temptation that Satan threw against Jesus, came against Jesus with, was, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." And the Bible says Jesus was hungry. So where was the devil coming? The first thing he came after was what? His appetite. Right after his appetite. So we have to guard ourselves and not allow our appetite to dominate us. We don't want to let our belly be our God. All right? Have you ever seen the statue of Buddha? He's got a big belly. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. God wants to fill your mouth with good things. Now, that word "good" in the Hebrew can also mean best. And then, among other words, it also means prosperity and wealth. This word "good." So really, the Lord wants you to eat the best. He wants you to eat. He wants to fill your mouth with costly food. Food that may be expensive. And that's why a lot of times folks who don't have faith in these things will go after the cheapest stuff. They'll go after the cheaper because the cheaper things are cheaper. But they're also, in most cases, the worst thing for you. People want the fast and the cheap. And so they think, well, you know, they can't afford that. And the next thing you know, they've got this nice big health insurance policy that's costing them all kinds of money. And then they still have to pay all kinds of money when they go visit the doctor because of their bad diet. So it's, in a lot of cases, it's pay now or pay later. We don't want to go the cheap way out when it comes to our health. We've got to trust God and use our faith and say, this is part of my benefits. I'm going to eat the good of the land. I'm going to eat what's good. I'm going to eat what is, well, I'm going to eat what's the best for me. Now again, there's a lot of folks, they get religious over eating. They're just religious over it. And they're very meticulous about what they eat, and they're worried about what they eat. And that's error. That's a ditch. That's not good for you spiritually, because that's fear. And fear, we know, is not good for you. Fear is what opens us up to all kinds of things from the devil. The devil works through fear to try to bring problems in our life. So we don't want to get in fear about what we eat. We just want to use wisdom. We just want to be responsible. And we want to use our faith to believe God, that God will provide for us what we need if it's good for us. He will provide for us. I'm going to trust God. Well, the organic is a little bit too much money. Sacrifice something else. And the truth of the matter is, you think you're going, you know, you're saving money, but after you get your Whopper and your Big Gulp and your all this stuff, and you know, that all adds up. Anyway, so in a lot of cases, folks are just fooling themselves. They're not really saving a whole lot. A lot of cases, just being lazy. All right? So we don't want to be lazy, but we don't want to be religious either. Over here in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Remember, we just talked about deceptive foods, didn't we? What do you think's behind deceptive food? Deceiving spirits. He says, expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So notice, number one, he says there are demons that if they can't get you to eat the wrong food, then they'll try to bring you over here into the fear ditch and try to get you afraid to eat just about everything. That's unclean. No, that's not good for food. And they get paranoid over these things. Friend, my faith and your faith should not be in what we eat or don't eat. Our faith needs to be in God. We need to be responsible in what we eat. But our faith is in God for our health. Because you can eat all the right foods. You can take all the vitamins. You can do everything in the natural that they tell you to do and still have all kinds of problems physically. You know, I love all these beautiful commercials, you know. They treat their products like it's the cure-all. It's the answer. If you just drink this, if you just get this, this is it right here. This is your salvation. This is your deliverance right here. We've discovered it over here in Jamaica, this exotic tree over here that the monkeys have been eating. That's why the monkeys live hundreds of years. Because over here in Jamaica, I don't know if they do that, but we found these coconuts and it's the answer. It's the cure-all. You know, I've seen folks post stuff on Facebook, you know. If you take some honey and cinnamon and mix it together, this is what it's going to do for you. If you take some honey and cinnamon, it's going to cure this. It's going to cure this. I mean, by the time you're done, it's cured everything. It's the cure-all. I saw a thing on a cucumber. I thought, a cucumber? Oh, man, this cucumber, it cleans, it sanitizes, and it cures everything. Skin problems, rub some cucumber. Put some cucumber in your shampoo, and your hair will glisten. I'm serious. It was the God that we need to get a hold of. We need to come running to cucumber. So, you know, there's a lot of folks in the ditch in that way. There's folks that have lived over 100 years and they've smoked their cigars and drank their drinks and done their thing and they've lived immoral and they just keep living. What's that guy's secret? They ask these people, what's your secret? One guy said, I think, you know, he takes a shot of vodka every morning or something like that and smokes a pack of cigarettes. I don't know what it was. It's like, oh, that's his secret. You know? So you can't go by these things. You know, like this is going to determine whether you live long enough. No, we're going to live long because the Word of God says so. But we also have a responsibility to watch what we eat. To know what we eat, to know what we're putting in our mouth. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods with good, and nothing is to proceed with thanksgiving. Notice verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. See, a lot of folks will just run off with that scripture right there, or at least part of the scripture, and they'll say, see right there, nothing's to be refused, Pastor. If we pray over it and if we bless it in the name of Jesus, it's blessed. The preservatives are gone. The calories, we can control them too. We just bless it all in the name of Jesus. Well, first of all, notice what he said, verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So he's talking about eating something that God created. Here it's talking about creatures, so it's talking about animals. So he's saying you don't have to be a vegetarian to please God. That's what he's letting you know. So here he's talking about that. Notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 25. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market. Meat market. What's in a meat market? Meat. All right. A lot of folks just get the whatever. Whatever is sold. They miss the meat part. Eat whatever is sold. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. So notice that he's talking about not being worried about eating something and offending the Lord. He says, you don't have to worry about that, you know, about it violating your conscience, like you've eaten something that has pleased God. He said, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. Now, there are some things we need to look at in the grocery store and ask some questions about for our colon's sake. Not necessarily our conscience, but there's other things that we need to be concerned about. Now, don't get in the ditch with that either. I had somebody tell me, you got to go get a colonoscopy. How old are you, they ask. How old are you? Tell them how old are you. Have you had a colonoscopy? No. Oh. You need to do that every year. Really? Wow. I didn't find that in my Bible. I got to get probed every year. You know, it's such foolishness, too, because if you stop and think about it, you can go get your colonoscopy and then leave the office, leave the doctor's office, and a week later get afflicted with something. And you won't know about it until the next colonoscopy next year. Yeah, probably too late for you. So really, you need to get a colonoscopy every week. It's amazing, you know, every doctor, you know, has their specialists in different things, and they'll all tell you, you need to get scoped in this area, this doc tell you, you need to get scoped in this area. You know, by the time it's over, it's like, you're going to be scoped. You know, when it comes to these things, you need to be led. Stop listening to the world. You got to listen to your body. No. Listen to your spirit. The Bible doesn't say anything about being led by your body. In the natural realm, the devil will play all kinds of deceptive games with you with symptoms. He'll poke you and try to create all kinds of feelings in you. And if you just react to everything you're feeling and listen to everything the medical books tell you to do at different times of your life, man, you'll be running and going, and you'll end up causing more problems for yourself. A lot of folks just create problems for themselves because they don't have peace. Our peace needs to be in God. Are you with me? We need to have peace in Him. Praise God. Thank God for medical science. It's a blessing. But it's also very abused in our society today. And there's a lot of folks that bow down to the shrine of medicine, medical science. They worship it. They look to it. This is my God. We need to look to Jesus. We need to follow Him. We need to be led by Him. Can you say amen? So we don't want to get in a ditch with all these different things. We need to be responsible. We need to consider what we're eating. We need to consider what we're doing throughout the day. If you're just sitting all day long and you don't get up and move around and just get your pulse moving a little bit, you know, you probably need to do that. Probably need to do a little exercise. I didn't say you have to be at the gym every day, but, you know, we need to begin to take care of our bodies. That doesn't mean become a fanatic. You just need to take care of your body. You need to be aware of what you're eating. And you don't have to worry about offending God with what you're eating. But there are some things that just aren't good for you, and you need to be aware of that. Don't just sit there and say, well, it doesn't matter. Find out. If you're reading something on the label and you get to it, and it's like a really long word, and it sounds like something you know you heard in biology class or something like that, you might want to consider that. Because a lot of stuff hasn't come out of the earth. It's come out of a factory. It never even saw the earth. All it's known is a factory. It's man-made, man-created. It's not something God created. So if God created it, praise God, it's good. Not to be refused, but if it's something man-made and invented to make it look like something God created, we need to consider these things. Proverbs 23, verse 6, says, "Do not eat bread... Do not eat the bread of a miser." Literally, that's one who has an evil eye. "Nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So don't let, in other words, what's it say? It's saying don't let food blind you. There's a lot of folks that'll fatten you up for the kill. They'll bribe you through food. And so we don't want to be able to be bribed by food. Jesus, he's the perfect example of this. Bible says he was hungry. Satan came to tempt him. Jesus resists the devil, speaks the word. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus is thirsty. He comes to a well. He meets this woman there, says, give me a drink. The woman refuses to give him a drink. They begin to get into this conversation. She ends up running off, and the disciples come back, and they got some food. He hasn't eaten. He hasn't drank anything. And they say, Master, here, we got some food. Eat. We'll get you some water. And he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He didn't let his belly blind him to the will of God. He didn't let his belly blind him to what the Spirit of God was leading him to do. He kept his heart tender before God. And so even when he was hungry, he wouldn't run like a pig to the trough and just, I am starving. The pods are flying everywhere. Get out of my way. I'm hungry. I'm starving. I'm famished. I can't even talk unless I've had my pizza. It's really quiet in here. That was actually pretty funny, but folks are not laughing. That is something to consider. Now, Proverbs, somebody said, this is not funny. Proverbs 17, it says, verse 1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Now we're talking about not just what we eat, but how we eat. He's saying it's better to have some dry morsel, something that doesn't even really taste very good, but it gives you what you need, than to sit down at a feast where there's tension, where there's strife. You know, you got to watch how you eat. You don't want to eat angry. You don't want to eat upset. Because it's not good for you. I said it's not good for you. So you want to eat in peace. And if you can't eat in peace, don't eat. Yeah, don't eat. Just push it away and say, I'll get that later. We want to eat in peace. Glory to God. And eat good. Eat healthy. Just eat good. Eat healthy. You know, if you eat good a lot, then your body will recognize when you're getting off track. And your body will correct you. Your body will begin to. Now, if you're just always putting garbage in, your body doesn't know any better. But if you watch what you eat and you eat generally good, then your body will correct you. Let you know, hey, this isn't good. Who would have thought you'd get that out of a man with dropsy? It's amazing what you get at going to the ruler of the Pharisee's house, sitting down to eat at his table. Gotta watch. Don't eat what the Pharisees eat. Rebecca chapter 14, verse 2. And behold, here he's at the house. There was a certain man before him who had dropsy. Now, dropsy is some kind of swelling. It's being bloated. Basically, your body is retaining water. What's causing this? It could be a number of different things. You know, like kidney failure, heart failure, whatever. I mean, the whole list thing. Probably too much sodium would get it done too. But anyway, this man, for whatever reason, was retaining water, and it was evident, and he had this situation. Matter of fact, the NIV version of this verse says, there in front of him, in front of Jesus, was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Verse 3. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? How many people know that's a pretty obvious question? And an obvious question should get an obvious answer. But verse 4 says, but they kept silent. They didn't want to answer because they knew the answer. But they didn't want to agree with Jesus. They didn't want to act like what he was doing was okay, even though his question made perfect sense. Of course it's okay to heal on the Sabbath. They kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Now, it doesn't go into a whole lot of details here concerning this man and how this whole thing played out. But I looked up the word took. He took him. And it means to lay hold of with the hand. Take possession of. So in other words, Jesus got his hands on this man. But also this taking possession of, you know. You can see the passion in Jesus. Jesus sees this man with this condition and he so wants to make it right. He so wants to make, friend, that's how he is today. With you and I, with others. He looks and he so wants to make it right. All he needs from us is faith. Just believe, only believe, just believe. Don't let the doubt get in there. Don't let the fear get in there. Don't let all the reasonings get in there and rob you of just simply believing God, because he so wants to take hold of you and fix anything that might be going wrong in your life. Whenever you feel any kind of symptom or you're dealing with any kind of thoughts, just know that Jesus so wants to take care of this. Praise God. You don't have to beg him. You don't, oh, Lord, please, please. We don't ever have to say please to him. Never. You never have to say please to God. You don't have to plead and beg. He wants to do it. Know that about him. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Now, let him go comes from one, those three words come from one Greek word. And it can also mean to set free. And he set him free. He took him, healed him, and set him free. It means to loose his bonds and bid him depart. Jesus took hold of him, healed him, set him free, loosed him, praise God, and let him depart. Verse 5, then he answered them saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Now we know Jesus has used that statement more than just this time. This is something he has used several times with different people. You know, if something works good, there's no reason why he wouldn't use it again. And so he's used this statement repeatedly to try to knock some sense into these religious people. And again, Jesus is trying to help them. You can see he's trying to help them. He's not just condemning them. He's trying to get it over to them that their thinking is all out of whack. They need to get things right. So he says, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Now that tells you something right there about healing. Is it God's will to heal you? Well, he wants to heal some of the people sometime. He doesn't want to heal everybody all the time. You know, you hear this kind of thing all the time. But Jesus really answers it very simply here. Is it God's will to heal? Well, is it God's will to pull your dog or cat out of a pit if it falls in a pit? I mean, it's common sense, in other words. Is it God's will to heal? The answer is common sense. Of course, it's his will to heal. And here, he's telling these men, he's saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox, if it falls into a pit, will not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day? How people know, these weren't compassionate men. And yet they would still pull their donkey or their ox out of the pit. Not because they care about the donkey or the ox, but they care about their own pocketbook. Not out of compassion, but out of cash flow. See, that's their livelihood. That's money to them. So them out of selfishness would reach out and rescue an animal. How much more would God reach out and rescue a human being? See, there's no confusion about this whatsoever. Verse 6, and they could not answer him regarding these things. They couldn't, because they didn't want to. They didn't have an answer because they didn't want to have an answer, because their answer went against what they wanted to believe. Again, what you believe is a choice. What you believe is a choice. People choose what they want to believe. It's amazing how people go into denial about stuff. You start sharing some things with them, you know, about God or something, and you're going to say, yeah, oh, that's great, praise the Lord, okay. You just, they don't want to believe that, foolishly. But it's true anyhow. I want to believe the right thing, don't you? No matter what. Even when it has to do with eating. I don't want to close my ear and close my eyes to things that are good for me and lie to myself. If it's the truth, I want to believe it. I want to embrace it. I want to walk in it. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight. Praise you, Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.